Okay, we're rolling.
Okay.
This is Beth Dean for the Washington County Museum, interviewing Teresa Clark at the museum's new location in the Hillsborough Civic Center. And today is February 19th at approximately 1:30 in the afternoon. And today we're going to be talking about the Bracero program and Teresa's work experience, I believe, as a payroll accountant.
Yeah, I did the payroll. I was in accounting. We did payroll for approximately 400 Braceros.
Wow. Okay, and this is a town in California.
Yep, right.
Where Teresa worked from approximately 1956 to
1958.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I did work in 1960 from approximately August to October.
Okay, perfect. And then we'll sort of finish. You're now a resident of Forest Grove. Is
yes,
that right?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We came to Oregon in 1966.
Okay, great. So let's, where can we start?
1956?
Let's start with that.
Okay, well, I went to work for Mr. Warden. I went to interview at a bank. All they could pay me was $180 a month. That's where my father wanted me to work. It was a nice, clean job. I had references from the police chief in Tracy. References from the city auditor, and I had a reference from Mr. Williams, who was the supervisor out where my father worked. My father had worked there for probably quite a long time, since 1937, and so this was 1956. And but the bank didn't tell me anything, and it didn't look very good. So I went out and interviewed for Mr. Warden, and he gave me a job right away. And he was paying me $95 a week.
Oh, wow.
And he paid for my gas to go out 30 miles. And it was, I did all the payrolls. I did the state taxes. And like I said, we did taxes for 400 men. And we did the payrolls every other week, and we paid in cash. So we'd go get the cash. It was like $80,000 every other week, and we paid cash. So we would have to get, you know, 20s. We paid in the separate amounts, and we'd have to get them all balanced and everything. Then we'd go and put them in envelopes, and then we'd have payday. Then we'd pay them. You know, and I'd have to count it in Spanish. And it was really interesting because I was raised by Mexican parents. Both my sets of grandparents were from Mexico, but my father and mother only spoke English to us. So I understood Spanish, but I didn't speak it very well because they didn't make us speak it. But I understood Spanish very, very well. But because I had a Spanish surname, Ortega, everybody thought, she speaks Spanish. But I didn't. I understood it very well, but mostly I could speak it fairly well, but my I couldn't really speak it so that they could understand it, and everybody said, well, you have a really good accent, mm-hmm. but I didn't feel comfortable with it, not like I did with English. And so I used to pay them, and but when they'd ask me questions, I just kind of stumble, you know. And so one time I was talking to one of the English fellas that was there, and I said something rather stupid, like, man, these guys, you know, they're not very smart, or something like that. And one of these men, he just came unglued. He was a teacher of English in Mexico. And he said, you know, young lady, he said, you should be careful who you speak English in front of. And he just read me the riot act, and I was so embarrassed because he spoke English better than I did. And I was just really embarrassed. So from then on, I watched who I spoke English in front of. And I really learned Spanish a lot better. He helped me a lot to understand my own culture, because I really didn't know the Mexican people, because we all come from different cultures. My grandparents were from Chihuahua, Sonora, Aguascalientes, And they all have different ways, and some of these people were from Michoacan and different areas of Mexico. So I learned to find out where they were from, and it was really interesting. So I learned to find out where they were from, and I learned to help them. I would send packages for them. I would send money orders for them. I try to help them with sending things. I remember one man wanted to send an electric, it was a sewing machine. And I asked him, do you have electricity in your house? Well, he didn't have electricity in his house, so he couldn't really send an electric sewing machine to his house. He needed a pedal one. So we tried to convince him that the electric wasn't good. But they picked tomatoes by picking by the crate, by the number, like 13 cents a crate, 12 cents, 11 cents, 10 cents. Some of them at first came and they hoed the tomatoes. And so they'd have a crew boss that would go out with them and make sure that they took all the weeds out. And then that was like in September, they would go out. But we had an inspector that would come and inspect us, make sure that we had beds for them, had mattresses for them, and that we only charged them $1.75 a day. And that was for their meals and their beds, and made sure that we had running toilets for them. But they really didn't know about running toilets and using toilet paper. So sometimes they would just use catalogs. And they would they would plug up the toilets. But we would have toothbrushes for them and toothpaste, which sometimes they didn't know what to use. So we would have people that would show them. We would call some of them turistas, because some of them came, they'd be all dressed up. Those were the ones we knew that were just there to make a little money and maybe disappear. The ones that came with huaraches and they really didn't have clean feet, they came because they were poor, and they came there just to make money. And they would send money to Sancho. One time I asked my boss, so who's Sancho? Because we had this man named Contreras, who was a Mexican-American too. I mean, he was like me, he wasn't really from Mexico, but his family was. So I said, Nash, his name was Ignacio, but they called him Nash. I said, Nash, who is Sancho? He said, well, that's the man that takes care of his wife while he's up here.
Oh, gosh.
And I said, well, what do you mean he takes care of him? He says, well, honey, you're too young and you don't understand. So he tried to explain it to me, which was really embarrassing because I was pretty young and naive at 18. And so he tried to explain it to me. I said, okay, I understand.
Stop.
So anyway, he said, he takes care of the money and the woman while he's up here. And I said, oh, okay, I understand. And so they would send money, practically 80% of his money went to Mexico. And he kept very little of it for himself. And one time I saw a line out to the field, and I said, what are these guys all standing out in line? Every payday you'd see this line. He says, well, there's a woman out there. And I said, well, what the heck's a woman doing out there? He says, honey, you don't want to know what the woman is doing out there. And I said, okay, don't tell me, because I don't want to know. I have an idea what she's doing out there.
Yeah.
But these men worked very, very hard, and it was stoop labor. And I mean, they would work from, they got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, went out, they had breakfast, they had lunch out in the field, they came home 7, probably had dinner, and then they just kind of mill around. And I used to get really upset after, I worked there for quite a while before I bought a brand new car, 57 Beller hardtop, which is my first brand new car. And it was a silver car, and they used to lean up on against it and scratch it with the brads on their jeans. And I used to tell my boss, oh, I get so mad because they scratched my car, you know. He says, you know, it's because of them that you have that car, so you shouldn't get so mad at them. I said, you know, I never thought of it that way. So Then after that, I didn't get so mad. They worked so very hard in the sun. They never griped about their pay. They never complained.
Do you remember how much they got paid? Because you said it was $1.
It was, they would get paid, like, the most I ever remember, they got paid like 10, 13 cents, 14 cents, 15 cents. But they got paid probably a couple hundred dollars every 2 weeks. But they worked very hard for that money, very hard, you know, like 8-10 hours a day. And some of them were that tended water. Now they got paid like $1.25 an hour. And they would work like 10 hours. Now they would make more money.
But so that seems good, because some things I was reading said that they would have to pay as much for their room and board as they would for the...
No, these fellas paid, they paid $1.75 an hour. I mean, $1.75 a day. They could pay more than that.
So they were actually making money.
Yeah, they were making money, because we could not charge them more than $1.75 a day. Mm-hmm. And that was for their meals and for their room and board. And they fed them pretty darn good, because I used to eat there. I'd eat lunch there. Sometimes I'd eat dinner there. And the thing is that they would feed them tongue, which is something they're used to, you know, and I got used to it. I mean, it was just like a stew, you know, and I ate tripe. I ate tripe at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like tripe. And we would feed them things that they would eat at home, so they would feel comfortable. And the cook was Mexican. I got to be real good friends with her. Matter of fact, she came to my engagement party, and I know she felt really uncomfortable, because the girl that gave me my engagement party was, she was rather rich, and she had Fosforia glasses, and this girl says, I don't know which forks and stuff to use. I said, I don't know either, but just use the ones I'm using, because I don't know either. But I told my boss, I said, you know, we used to go get $80,000. He'd get 40 and I'd get 40. And I said, what would you do if I stole this money sometime? And he said, honey, if you're going to steal, steal a lot, because it's going to put you in jail for the same amount of time. And I said, well, I don't think so, because I don't want to go to jail.
They sound like good employers, though.
Oh, they were. He was a sweetheart. I loved him very much. He used to call me Sunshine. And we did a lot of book work, but we always balanced. One time I came back from the bank and I had $200 too much. And we tried to balance that thing and I came out $200 too much, and we couldn't get it to balance. So I called the bank and I said, you know, we have $200 too much and I don't know what happened. He says, oh my God, I'm so glad you called, because we're short $200. He says, can you come tomorrow and bring us the $200 back? And I said, sure, I'll bring it back to you. We don't want it. We can't balance. So it was, they had given me $200 too much. So we had balance, so we didn't know what to do with it.
Now, did the farm run all year round, or was it mostly just
we came from we worked from September to October, but I worked practically all year round, because I worked for the asparagus farmers on Roberts Island in August. He kind of farmed me out. And then I went to work in Reno for some farmers. He kind of farmed me out, so I would work all year round for him. Nice. He trusted me. As a matter of fact, we went to Fallon, Nevada, and he took me there, and he took me into a place where they thought I was Indian, because I look like almost anything. I look like I'm Italian, I look like I'm Jewish. People have taken me for almost anything. And he said, oh my God, put your glasses on. You look like Indian. They may not let you come in here. And I said, oh, okay. So I said, okay. And he said, they won't let Indians in here. And I said, oh my God, they won't let Mexicans in, they won't let Indians in. Gee whiz, what a bunch of jerks. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yes, I was taken for a lot of different things. And a matter of fact, when I got married, I went to Virginia, and I was standing in line for the unemployment, and this man was standing behind me. And he said, what are you? And I said, I don't understand. What do you mean, what am I? I'm an American. And he said, yeah, but you're something else. I said, you mean, well, my grandparents were from Mexico, if that's what you mean. He said, yeah, well, how long have you been speaking English? I said, sir, I've been speaking English all my life. And he said, oh.
I just don't get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had that. I worked for Kaiser for 30 years, but I used my Spanish a lot. And there were three of us. I'm a redhead. The other one was a blonde. And the other one was a redhead. And this woman, I was speaking Spanish to this man, and this woman behind him, she got really upset, and she said to me, I wish you would speak English. And I said, I do speak English, ma'am. What can I help you with? She got really annoyed, and she said, well, I'm going to go speak to this girl over here. She's blonde. And this girl says, ma'am, I'm Mexican, too.
Yeah.
To her, because she is. She's Mexican.
Yeah.
So then, well, I don't want to talk to you either. So she went to speak to the other girl, and the other girl says, well, I'm Mexican, too, so what's your problem?
Yeah.
And this lady just walked out mumbling to herself. So, you know, it's just really disconcerting. Was really disconcerting to all of us that this woman was so racist that she wouldn't speak to anybody. And even three of us, one's a blonde, one's a redhead, and the other one, I don't know what she was. She had dark hair too. But we're all Mexicans, but we all spoke very good English.
Right.
We all spoke Spanish, so what the heck was her problem? We couldn't understand.
Is that part of California where you were living? Is that fairly integrated with Mexicans? And
well, this was here in Oregon.
Oh, this was in Oregon. Okay.
This was Oregon at the Kaiser facility East Interstate.
Oh.
In California, of course, I was working in Cornelius. I mean, there in Bernalis, I was with farmers.
Mm-hmm.
I never had that problem there because I was working with farmers.
Okay.
So they all treated me the same.
Hmm. And the men themselves, the braceros, were, you had some chances to talk to them? And
oh, yes. I had
helping with money. And
yeah, before that, I worked for a theater that was a Spanish-speaking theater, and this young man came up. He was blonde like you are, blue-eyed, with red hair. And I told him in Spanish that the American theater, or English, I told him American theater was up above, and he told me in Spanish he didn't speak English.
So you just never know.
No, you never knew there.
Yeah.
So I got to be friends with him, and it was really interesting. And then when I went to work for Mr. Warden, I saw there were so many different colors,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it was sad for me because some of the young men that were only in their 20s, they looked so old.
Hmm.
They looked
just
like they were,
hard work.
Oh, yes, 30, 40 years old they look, and they were only like in their 20s because they worked so hard.
So stoop labor, and this is a question I have when we're putting the exhibit together, it's mostly just working with your hands, is that
That's
true?
Right.
So there really aren't any farm instruments at all. It's just...
Just a hoe and a hoe. That's mainly what they did was hoes or picking with their hands. Or melons, they picked melons, and that was with their hands,
mm-hmm.
and carrots. And my brother and his two friends, they weren't Mexicans, but they came out, they were going to pick carrots. Boy, they were going to make a lot of money. And they came, they couldn't even finish a row.
Yeah.
I had to go out there with my high heels to try and help them, because they had to finish the row before they could leave. They never came out again. That was the first day, they couldn't even finish a row. And they came out at 8 o'clock in the morning. They were still there at 5 o'clock at night.
And the other guys are...
The other guys had already finished and gone home.
Wow.
So it's very, very hard. I mean, they were bent over all day long in the sun.
Yeah.
Bent over. And Americans don't want to do that kind of work. And so it's not like they're taking work from anybody. Mm-hmm. We used to have winos that they go down, pick them up, mm-hmm. and they bring out busloads of winos. Those winos would only pick enough to get a bottle of wine, and then they'd quit. Mm-hmm. Come and pick up their pay, and then they were done. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd make $2 or $3 and then come and get their pay and sit in the bus until it was time for them to go home. Hmm. No, that Bracero was a hard working person who did stoop labor, and they worked very, very hard. And that's why the farmers liked them.
Yeah.
And now that they have the farmers here, that they don't have Braceros, but they have immigrants that are, you know, they're not citizens.
Undocumented,
they do the same thing.
Yeah.
They work very hard, they bring their kids, and the kids work hard, and they become something. Because they know that education is the only way they're going to get out of the fields.
Mm-hmm. So, do you know how the farmers hired Braceros? Because at this point in time, it was still a national program, right?
It was a national program, and what happened was that the contractors went to the border, and, well, actually, it wasn't true. We had an organization in Stockton that brought the Braceros from the border, and then the contractors would go to this organization and they would pick up the Braceros there, mm-hmm. and they would bring them to the camps. And that's how they got them.
Okay, and then I was happy to hear you said that there were people evaluating the situation, or?
Oh yes, we had they were from the state of California, and they were, we had Mr. Ludwig, and he came every month, and he came and he checked out the camp. He ate with us. He checked out to see how the payrolls, how much we paid them. He wanted to see if we charged them, how much we charged them for their room and board. He came and checked the where they slept, what kind of rooms we had for them, how many beds we had for them, what the toilets were like. And he ate the food to make sure that we fed them right. He went out to the fields to check that they weren't abused. I'm sure that he did that with all of them, but I know that he came to ours. Hmm. He was very, very good, and he didn't, just because we were friends, he didn't just come and check on us and take our word for anything. He checked on it.
So there really were inspectors.
Yes, so we're inspectors.
That's good. And then the other thing we have been told was at the beginning of the program, at least 10% of the paycheck was deducted as sort of a savings plan. And this may be in the 1940s.
No, not in California.
Okay.
As I remember, we paid they paid into the Social Security.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, they paid Social Security just like everybody else.
And then the idea was that they were supposed to get that when they returned. Okay.
Yeah, they got that back.
Mm-hmm.
Because they paid into Social Security.
Hmm.
And my memory is correct, they even paid into state income tax.
Okay.
No, they didn't, because California didn't have state income tax then. They just paid into Social Security.
Huh. And would you see some of the same men come back every year?
Yes.
And first question is, was it seasonal type of work? Or
yes, it was seasonal. It was seasonal work, and some of them came back. Like the turistas would come back.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them would stay. Some of them, we had 3 turistas that came back 3 years in a row.
Okay.
Some of the seasonal workers came back. Some of them, especially the school teachers, like the one that I told you, the mm-hmm. school teacher, he came back 3 years in a row
huh.
that I was there. The seasonal workers, there were a lot of the irrigation workers that came back. And of course the people that were the row bosses were there. And I got to know a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
they became my friends. Mm-hmm. I think most of them were citizens of the United States. I never asked them. They may have been, yeah. You know, they may have been people that weren't citizens. I don't know. I never asked them. Hmm. But all of them had children, a lot of children. And I see names, their names, and I just often wonder if sometimes their children, I see yeah. names, you know, and I wonder if those aren't their children because they're unusual names. They were such industrious people. And the wives would have children in the doctor's office because they couldn't afford the hospitals. I used to take the wives to the doctor's office and they'd have the children in the doctor's office and I'd bring them back.
Hmm. So some had families there.
The Robosses.
Robosses.
Okay. Yeah, but not the men. Braceros, the okay. men, the Braceros didn't. Mm-hmm. They didn't. We did have some families that came mm-hmm. later in the season after the schools were out. Okay. They came after the schools were out. They'd bring, but there were some families that came. But I don't remember too many of those. They were mostly all Braceros that came from Stockton, where they brought them by buses. We'd have 2-3 buses full of people, of you know, men, Braceros. Mm-hmm. And you'd see them downtown. You know, we'd take them to town where they could buy. They'd buy great big trunks, they'd buy pants. They used to like to have women measure them for pants because, you know, they'd have or they'd sit on the curb and eat ice cream.
Yeah.
Because it was sweet and they weren't used to that. My father was in the hospital with one and he taught one to brush his teeth. Mm-hmm. He told them how to brush his teeth.
Do you remember items that they bought with their money?
Oh yeah, they bought trunks,
okay,
pants, things for their wives.
Were jeans something that was American versus something that they would have?
Oh yeah,
so jeans were kind of like a status.
Mm-hmm. Jeans okay. and just regular pants, like cotton pants.
Hmm.
Cotton pants. They'd roll them up because you know they'd be too long. Because most Mexican men are not very tall. Mm-hmm. They'd roll, and the jeans, they'd roll up. But you see the cowboys, they roll their
same thing, yeah. Yeah.
Shirts, cowboy shirts.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, the turistas always bought those silk shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Silk shirts. Okay. But they always wear their huaraches. And when they were picking tomatoes, of course, their feet would be green, like my socks are green right now.
Super. Did you, when you think of the word bracero, what kind of connotations come to mind?
To me?
Yeah.
To me, it means a very hard-working person. Hmm. Doesn't mean lazy, because mm-hmm. I never saw a lazy bracero. Never, never. A turista maybe, but not a bracero.
Huh.
He was very hard-working, and he didn't lay around very much. Not the ones I saw. Mm. Generally, they went to bed early, and I see some that think that they always were in fights and stuff, but I never saw them in fights. I saw them as hardworking, in bed early, reading magazines. They would buy the Spanish-speaking papers, but I never saw them in fights. Maybe I didn't stay late enough, but I used to be there at 7 o'clock at night, so if they were gonna get in fights and drink Pepsi. They wouldn't drink anything but Pepsi.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So what else?
So, well, those are kind of the big things. When you finish working with the farm, because I think the Bracero program officially ended in about 64 or 65?
Well, I was there in 1960. Let's see, I was there, I came back in 19, I got married in 58 and I left and went to Virginia. And then my son was born in 1960. And my husband went over to England, so my boss said, why don't you, but I had to earn the money to go over to England, so he He said, why don't you come back to work? And so I went back to work for him and helped his bookkeeper do some bookkeeping like I had done before. And did the same thing. And what was really funny was these young Mexican men thought, well, she's married, you know, she'll go out with me. And so I told them, I'm married, you know, and I'd show them my wedding rings. Oh, that's okay. Married's good. I said, no, no, no. Married is not good. I don't go out with men. You know, I said, I have baby, you know, not good.
No.
You know, but I had fun. I had fun with them, you know, because I could enjoy them and I didn't have to worry because I wasn't a teenager anymore. And I understood them a little better. And I could speak Spanish a little better. And the girl that was there was single, and she said, oh, they just make me so angry. And I said, I don't get angry at them anymore because I understand them better, and I live life a little bit better, and I'm more mature. And so I earned the money to go to England and got to be with my boss because I loved him so much. And I just had a great time. From August to October, it was good. It was a good time. I really had a good time.
And then how did you end up in Oregon?
My husband went to school in Santa Barbara. He was a photographer, and he came for an interview here in Oregon, and came to interview and fell in love with Oregon. And so I just followed him up, and I hated Oregon. It rained the first 33 days I was here. And my youngest boy got the German measles, and then my oldest boy and I got the German measles, and it just rained and rained and rained. And I just thought, oh, God. And my father died just before I came up here. He was 48 years old. He had a heart attack. And I just didn't like Oregon. I tell you, if my husband would have wanted to go back, it would have been nice. But then I just fell in love with Oregon, and we've been here since 66, and I wouldn't go back to California if they paid me.
Huh.
My oldest boy lived in San Jose, and my youngest boy lives in Colorado, and they both said, well, if Dad dies, because my husband was very, very sick, and they said, well, if Dad dies, you know, well, you should come to live in Colorado. And my oldest boy said, well, you could come and live in California. And I said, no, I'm not coming to live with you in California, and I'm not coming to live with you in Colorado. I'm living in Forest Grove, and when I die, I'm going to be buried with your dad and Tracy, and that's it. Yeah. I'm not moving to California.
You're staunchly here then.
Oh yeah, I'm here. I'm going to be buried in California, but I'm not living there. I love Oregon.
I know, I do too. I'm not natively from here. Do you see connections between the Bracero program, and you were sort of saying, and migrant work that happens now?
Oh, yes, here.
Kind of the same?
Yes, I went out to the nursery, and they have a lot of Mexican people there from Michoacan. And when I worked for Kaiser, I went out to do some instruction, and I did some blood pressure work, and because I speak Spanish, and they asked me if I'd do that, and I said, oh yeah, I'd love that. I love that kind of stuff, because I was in membership services.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out there and I did that, and I just loved it because I love people, and I love Mexican people especially because they're very, very wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And not because that's my culture, but I love them. They're very loving, caring people. And the nursery people are like that. There are a lot of Mexican people in that, and the people in Cornelius and the people in Forest Grove, there are a lot of Mexican people out there. The nursery people, there are a lot of Mexican people that are in that. And I think that there are a lot of people that would have been in the Bracero program that are out there. And they're very much discriminated against, I think. They have Adelante Mujeres out there, and that is a very great program. And when I first came to Washington County, I was very upset about Valley Times because there used to be a lot of racism, and there still is. There's a lot of racism. My husband was the mayor of Forest Grove, and I think that if the people of Forest Grove would have known that I was Mexican, that was my ancestry, they would have been really upset.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of rednecks out there. I don't know if they're going to hear that.
You can take that off.
They are. Because when I was in Cornelius, I was sitting by a man, and he was just really being not very nice about Mexicans. And I said, you know, sir, I need to tell you that my grandparents, both sets of my grandparents, came across the Mexican border. And they were both from Mexico. And I don't know if they came across legally. I don't think they were. I know my grandpa wasn't. He came from Chihuahua. And he said, oh, some of my best friends are Mexicans, you know.
So,
but I just wanted him to know because he, you know, my husband has stood up for me. Mm-hmm. So one of his people that he was in the Air Force with, he said he was talking about Mexicans and how terrible, this was in Utah, Mormon country, and he was talking about these Mexicans. And he says, hey, Sarge, I just want you to know that I'm married to one of those Mexicans. And he said, ah, God, I'm sorry. You know, he says, well, I just wanted you to know. He said, I don't like the way you're talking about him because I'm married to a Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there are still people out there that just downgrade them. And, you know, maybe that's why when I was renting, I made sure that when I left that place, I had little children, and I made sure that I cleaned up just as clean as I could because I didn't want them to say, oh, gee, you know, they left it dirty. Mm-hmm. I know she was a Mexican, so that's why, and I don't like that.
Yeah. Would you, I'm just curious if you think the conditions, the Bracero program, were sort of better for those men than maybe for families now? I mean, I don't know how
yes,
you judge
yes,
that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
You would assume.
I would say that they were better there. I saw when I was in that Bracero program, there was also in Wesley, they had, well, here in Oregon, they had those little farmhouses. That was unconscionable the way they had those families living out there. They had those families living so awful. My husband went out and he helped those people with blankets that they were living on those farms out there. And the farmers, they brought them out here and then just left them.
Yeah.
He tried to help them. Now, he is an Anglo. I mean, he's English, Irish, Norwegian, and Dutch, but he said he just happened to be born. But he's a Mexican at heart, and he loves Mexican people. And I don't know if it's because he married a Mexican or what, but he would just bend over backwards to help them. And he thinks that those farmers, they bring them out here and give them all these ideas that they're going to do all these things for them, and then they just let them suffer. And he hates that because he knows what the Bracero program that we had and what we did in California. And here, they just let them suffer. So, you know, I think that it's terrible the way they treat them here.
Yeah, well, that's kind of one of our questions, if sort of an organized program succeeded versus what's happening now. Because it seems like the Bracero program may have been one of the first times we saw a large migration of Mexican nationals
exactly.
to the area.
Yes.
But then what happens next?
They didn't do anything here in Oregon. And Oregon is so progressive. That's why I don't understand why they didn't have a program like we had in San Joaquin County.
Yeah, because the program here ended in 46. Well, Washington County. I think in Oregon itself it ended in 1947.
Yeah, but I don't know what their program was like here, but the program that we had in Vernalis with them coming and having someone checking on us and making sure that we're doing the right thing, I thought was very proper. I would have only, if I'd have gone to work for the bank, I would have only got $180 a month. I made more, $95 a week. Do you know how much that was in 1956? For me, a teenager, that was a lot of money for a teenager.
Yeah. Huh.
My father was so upset with me because I wouldn't take that job at the bank. That was a very prestigious job. And the banker got mad at me because I wouldn't take it. And when I went to Mr. Warden and told him, you know, I was offered this job at the bank, and I had already made my decision, he said, well, I assume you're going to take the job at the bank. And I said, no, Mr. Warden, I'm keeping this job here. Why would I want to go to the work for the bank at $180 a month?
Yeah.
I can't even pay for my car. Well, I was paying $90 a no, I was paying $40 a week for my car. I paid my car off in 2 months because I paid it every week.
Wow, you could, and you got the fancy 57.
Well, I paid my, I was buying a Ford, and it was the payments were $45 a month, and I paid it off in 2 months. My father got money back because he went and bought it for me.
Wow.
And I said, Daddy, you know, he bought a 52, I think it was a Ford stick shift. And I said, Daddy, you know, I want to buy a better car. Because I was driving his Packard, 49 Packard. Mm-hmm. His brand new one when he bought it. And I wanted to buy a brand new 57 Bel Air hardtop. And it was $2,300 when I bought it. And he was so proud of me because I was only 20 years old.
And you got a brand new car.
Oh, and I got a brand new car, and he was so proud of me, you know. He had a sign for me, but then I got married when I was 21, and he was so proud of me. I left it with him because I couldn't afford the payments. They were $70 a month, and my husband was only 17 when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
So I married a guy 4 years younger than me. So when we went to Virginia, and he was only an airman, we couldn't afford it. I wished I would have taken it with me.
Yeah.
We could have afforded it because I'm really good with money. I don't know. God has been very good to me.
Well,
He's
no
been
complaint.
Very good to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Well, do you have anything else that, like any specific memories of one of the Braceros or some conversation you had or something?
I had conversations with this one Bracero, how he came over here illegally. Now, I know his name, I know how he came over here, how he took the name off of a cemetery. He was a cousin of his, and how he legally got here, because a cousin and he were the same age, and how he got his Social Security number from that. And he's probably still here legally. I'm sure he's dead by now, because he's my age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 75. And how I found that out was because we talked, you know, and he had been a Bracero at my camp, and he told me he had a cousin, and I happened to see him at this Spanish-speaking theater, and I said, you're here? And he said, yeah, I'm here legally, too, and he told me how he did come here legally, how he became here legally. And I said, well, that's really good, I'm glad. He said, you're going to tell on me? I said, why? It's none of my business. If you're here legally, I can't do anything about it. He says, you could tell on me. And I said, it's not my business.
Smart man, if you figured that out. That's
yeah, because they had the same last name,
yeah,
the same first name. They were born the same year.
Mm-hmm. Impressive.
Yeah. He was very smart.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to college. And I thought, hey, he's going to be an asset to the United States. And that's what I think about all these young people.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to college, they're going to be an asset to the United States. I don't know whatever happened to him because, of course, I left, so I don't know what happened to him.
Hopefully the best.
Yeah. But like I said about the red-haired, blue-eyed guy, I got to be really good friends with him, and he was a Bracero. He wasn't from my camp because I wasn't there at that camp at that time. But he told me his parents were German, but he was from Mexico. And we used to talk a lot, and he loved the United States, and he wanted to come here and live, but I don't know if he ever did.
Mm-hmm.
But he used to come every Saturday, you know, until he went back to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But he had blonde eyes. He had blue eyes like you. He was very fair like you, with red hair. He was just the handsomest kid you ever saw.
Huh.
I used to come every Saturday to see me.
He likes you.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I had a boyfriend.
Is there anyone else that we should talk to that you know in the area? Because we're still trying to.
No, I don't know anybody here. I really don't. I haven't talked to anyone here. I don't know. Do you know Teresa Clark? I mean, yeah, her name is Teresa Clark. She went back to her name. Her name is Teresa. She's got a Spanish surname now. She used to be a Clark. But I don't know what her Spanish name is. I don't remember it. She was a Clark, but I don't know what it is now. I better get going.
Yeah, if you think of anyone.
I have your name and